Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
There is also the significant threat of electrocution.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
Talk about doing something ridiculous for a bit of cash.
Triple M footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
Thanks for putting up with me.
To keep these two in check.
Jay, I've just noticed something. How well are you going this morning? Your top's inside out.
Fox footy, Sarah Ollie.
You're looking great.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. A very good morning to you, gentlemen.
How's it going?
Morning, Jay. Sarah.
Hey, yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Thank Sarah.
You. Yesterday?
Thursday.
Thursday. How old?
29. Last
29.
Year in the 20s.
Lovely. Is that a new knitted jumper? Very
yes,
nice purple.
Yes, from my sister Rebecca. So thank you, Rebecca, if you're listening. But I had a culinary tour of Melbourne.
Really?
The past 48
love
hours.
Your restaurants,
been
don't you?
Wining and dining, Joe.
Where'd you go?
All over town.
Francois for dinner on Thursday.
Yes. Oh, you love
delicious.
Francois.
Delicious. Had some escargot, some steak frites, some beautiful bubbles. And I also went to Lisa for lunch, which is modern Australian, a bit more refined.
Yep.
So I was very well looked after, Jay.
Oh, and your hubby's staying home. Oh, your hubby. Your boyfriend is staying home for the weekend.
He hasn't put a ring on it yet.
No, he hasn't put a ring on it yet.
Hello,
what's
Marzi?
He waiting for, Marzi? Remember the controversy? He was going to go away this weekend with his mates, but he's not anymore.
No, and he's reminding me about it hourly at the moment, Joe. But you've also got a birthday.
Yeah, my little man, Noah. Week. He's one on Monday, so that's flown the first year. So we've got his birthday party tomorrow, although we've just gone small. We've realised you could go pretty big with a first birthday, Jay.
Yep.
But once we started to look into it, friends and then all the kids and far out.
Yeah.
Pretty hectic. So we're just going small style, just close friends and family going out for lunch tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Nice.
What's
nice
the theme of the birthday cake? Always the biggest question for mine.
That's a good question. Aaron's friend is making it, actually. I'm not across it.
Joey's right.
We've got a friend making it. We've got our lovely friend Holly's making the cake herself. So looking forward to that. But, Jay, you've got the three kids.
Yep. Yeah.
How do you keep throwing? Do you throw a big birthday party, first birthdays for all the kids? How does it work?
We went big first time.
Yep.
And then, we've significantly downgraded since then. So our youngster, Nash, is 9 months. He may or may not have a birthday cake for his first. So,
always happens to the youngest, doesn't it?
So it could be quite small. But no, we do love him. We love the third one. Yeah. Some people call him a pot plant, your third child. Let's move him around the room. I think that's a bit harsh, Joey. Yeah. But no, all good fun. Hey, have a great day. You have a sort of couple of beers.
We'll have a nice afternoon
some
tomorrow.
Cake. Champagne. Yes, hopefully.
Yeah, it'll be beautiful. Good day. So, quick.
Little Noah.
We do have a massive show coming up. We'll be speaking to Cat skipper Joel Selwood after another win down at the Cattery, a 27-point win last night. We'll also be discussing the World Cup. And we're going to touch on briefly, Joey, the Wimbledon draw.
It starts on Monday. So we've got plenty of sport again. Wimbledon, the World Cup cricket finals. There's still plenty happening.
It's all happening.
There is plenty to chat about. And Jay's got plenty of footy news, don't you, Jay?
Heaps.
Plenty happening.
Heaps happening. What did I ask you about Hawthorn and their fan base too? They've been spoiled. And they just
of course they have.
Switching off a bit.
Yeah, they've been
what
spoiled.
What do you mean if they've been spoiled? Of course they've been spoiled.
Well, they're going to play West Coast today. Look out the window. It's a bit wet and a smallish crowd expected. You know, the crowds have really dropped off. Anyway, they've been a bit sensitive about it on Twitter today, over the past couple of days. So we'll get to that later.
Now, last night, Geelong chalked up another victory, this time over the Crows. They were 27-point victors. And Joey, they look to have top spot all sealed up.
Yeah, they do. They're playing great footy. It wasn't all going all their own way in the first half in particular, particularly early in the first quarter. Adelaide really jumped out of the blocks and were taking it up to the Cats, but the longer the game went and a few positional changes, which we'll touch on, led to Geelong. Relatively easy 27-point winners, but another strong performance. And we knew it was going to happen, wasn't it? 9 wins. After they've lost off the bye, they always win the following
they
week.
They bounce back.
The script was there. We knew it was going to happen, but a terrific performance. Tim Kelly, once again, best on ground, Jay. 33 disposals, 2 goals. His value is continuing to rise. It's remarkable the year he's having. And he's a legitimate, especially with Paddy Cripps missing a week or two, he's a legitimate chance to win a Brownlow medal in his second year.
Spot on.
He'd be the cheapest Brownlow winner, I think, in the history of the game.
Yeah.
What would he be on this year? He's on a second year wage.
250
couple hundred thousand. Yeah.
In incentives. The Geelong's decision to hold on to him last year in the face of everyone saying let him go for family reasons.
Masterstroke.
Geelong have
Could
made
a flag.
Some great list management decisions over the past 10 years, going back to Ottens, all that sort of stuff. The decision to hold on to him in the face of public outcry, unbelievable, and they're getting full bang for buck. But I feel like the big story out of last night, Joey, is Bryce Gibbs again. 13 possessions, bit stinky,
Yep.
Where is his future
well,
at?
Well, I think now we've seen enough from this year. And I know early in the year, and I was probably a bit critical of Adelaide's decision as well off the back of some relatively good games. I think now it's clear the longer the season goes, his form's just dropped away. He's not as good a player as he once was. And that can happen at different rates for different players. I don't necessarily think he's found his right spot. I don't know what it still is. He's spotting the team at Adelaide.
They've got some inside.
So he's no longer an inside mid. He probably doesn't have the leg speed to play on the wings anymore, which has become a really important role in AFL footy.
What about halfback?
Well, potentially halfback, but they've got a pretty good back line. What, who spots he taking? Brody Smith, Rory Laird. You know, they love guys like Brown and Hardy getting their defensive roles. They've got one of the best defences in the competition, Adelaide.
GWS played Deledio on a half forward flank.
Yep.
Could he play that
potentially
role?
Potentially.
Or does he go elsewhere, Joey? Because Melbourne need quality ball users, right, Sarah? Their forward half connection is worst in the competition, worst champion Pindara has ever seen. If you're a club like the Demons, do you dangle the carrot? Because he is an excellent ball user still, am I right?
He's a good ball user, but I think his currency's dropping. I don't think he's the same player that he was at Carlton. He's no other side of 30, and it's just not really working for him. So even if he does leave, and that might be his right to finish his last couple of years somewhere, you're not going to be giving up a lot for Bryce Gibbs anymore.
What's the conversation that Don Park has with him then? Does he say, look, you don't have a spot in this side anymore. It's probably best for you and for us if you do move on?
I don't necessarily think that. I think if you're Adelaide, you still want to keep someone like Bryce Gibbs for depth and for, you know, experience, and he's, you know, still going to have a role to play if there are injuries. I just think he's not in their best 22. If Cam Ellis-Yolman wasn't injured last night, you'd think Bryce wouldn't play, and that's okay. That happens in footy. But, Adelaide, look, I don't think they lost any admirers last night, Jay. I thought they were pretty good. They're around the mark. They're probably not the top three or four teams at the moment to win the flag, but they're around the mark. And if they get a home final, you never know.
As a teammate, Joey, of Gibbs's, how do you handle that? Like, is that awkward inside the tent, if you know what I mean? Like, if you're with a bloke who should be in the team, he's frustrated that he's not going that well, how do you manage that?
Internally, that's just reality. You understand. That's how it works.
So what do you say to him? What do you say to Gibbsy? As a teammate.
As a friend, you might chat about it. They understand that they're frustrated. I mean, whether it's a guy like, say, David Armitage at St Kilda, who's been dropped once again, being a good player, no longer in the plans, not in their best team, it's almost a reality. There's nothing you can really say to him rather than, mate, keep your chin up, keep working hard, keep training hard. You never know. You know, Bryce Gibbs might get an opportunity. He might play finals. He might play in a grand. You don't know. So like when we've heard from Jared Ruffhead, you've got to keep doing the right things, keep training hard, keep being a good person around the footy club.
So it's not awkward internally.
No, it's not awkward internally. It's a reality, unfortunately.
You mentioned before positional changes.
Yes.
Mark Blixarves was the match winner in the end, Joey. They put him into the ruck. What do you think that means for the rest of the season? And would you play Blixarves in the ruck more?
Well, they don't have many weaknesses, the Cats, but the one weakness still is, I think, their ruck stocks. And they made that move because Riley O'Brien was dominating Rhys Stanley for the first quarter and a half up until halftime. Riley O'Brien's improvement has been rapid, and he was dominating Rhys Stanley. So in the end, the Cats made a bold move. They took Blixarves out of fullback and put him in the ruck, and he turned the game. He was really good as that ruck. We know he's mobile. He started getting a bit of ball as well, and that was a big move. So it's going to be interesting to see what Geelong decide to do with Rhys Stanley going forward, because you know, coming finals time, you're going to be coming up against the big boys. You've got Grundy, you're going to have Mumford, you're going to have some of these great ruckmen, and it's an issue the Cats are going to have to work through.
It's fascinating, O'Brien, his past month, because it means that Adelaide's got their number one ruck position sorted for the next decade.
Yep.
And Brody Grundy, South Australian, been linked back to Adelaide for months. It doesn't really seem like they need him, to
probably
be honest.
Probably not, no. But I don't think they do necessarily. You want Brody Grundy, let's not be, you know, silly about it, but they don't necessarily need him. They're not going to get him anyway, let's be honest. He's going to stay at Collingwood. Yeah,
just on Rhys Stanley, is he not the whipping boy?
I think he's been a tease for a long time. He was at St Kilda. We've seen him. He's very athletic. He plays some great footy at times. He just doesn't do it enough. And as a ruckman, you know, it's a tough one. And that's probably an area the Cats have just still got some question marks on game. He's been pretty good this year, Reece, but last night had his colours lowered by Riley O'Brien.
And on the line to talk us through the victory is their skipper, Joel Selwood. Joel, thanks for joining us. Is there anything better than chalking up a win on a Friday night and having the rest of the weekend just to relax and perhaps entertain a few extracurricular activities?
That's a good way to put it, Sarah. Yeah, obviously it is nice to start the weekend like that. And a good performance by the boys. Adelaide came out hard, and we just hung in there for the first bit. And then we got a lot of the other part of the game sort of on our terms. We just probably didn't finish as well as what we have throughout the early part of the year.
Joel, there's been a lot of talk about your own form and fitness this year, and I know you're not one that's going to make any excuses, but can you, from your perspective, just tell us a bit about how you've seen your form, and are you carrying any niggles? Because we saw the knee bandage last night.
Yeah, I've sort of had a sort of right side of the body issue for a long part of the year, going down the leg, and things have been compensating against different things. It started with a groin and then a little bit of hammy, and then from there I got a little bit of a calf, but it was never anything that sort of kept me out for a long period of time. So it was one that I've been able to sort of get on top of late, and, you know, I've just got to keep going at it. But, yeah, it's obviously the early part of the year I wasn't playing like I would have, but playing a role where I was able to help the team.
Yeah, so it'd be nice then last night, obviously probably your best game for the year. You're obviously feeling good, and now knowing you at your age, you can just peak for a big second half of the season and a tilt at the finals.
Just running a bit freer, Joey, yep. To be honest, and, you know, that helps going forward. This can help out a few of those boys that have been doing the heavy lifting early in the year.
Jolly, I don't care what your teammates say, mate. I think your acting career is flying. I've been seeing these Instagram videos, mate. The guy who pops out of the pool, the surprise look on your face.
Yeah.
You've got a big future in this business, mate. You are wasted on the football field. You should be in Hollywood, Jolly. Just
sit down. No, appreciate
that, Joe. You've always had my back. And yeah, our good friends at Geelong Travel got a big expo tomorrow, and it's always a cringeworthy one that you have to put up just before it. So rolled it out on a Thursday night. Hopefully everyone's watching the footy, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
I like it. And if you're listening, just check out Joel's Instagram when you get a second. Watch this ad and then scroll through the comments, because there's some comedy there from your teammates, mate, which is great. Now, what about this mansion I hear you're building down the coast? There's sort of six stories, two pools, a wave pool, a fountain out the front, you know, various sort of statues of yourself. How are the plans going down there, Bowen Heads?
Oh, they're going okay at the moment. It's a process, I can tell you that. After working in footy, and as Britt and I have found out, that you make a decision, you have to get on with it, whereas it's all a bit slower in the building world. So slowly getting to it. But
front, Jolly? Is you sort of doing the colour schemes and that?
No, that's probably not up my market, but putting things in the right place, that's probably more where I come into play.
Now, Joel, this is a sports show, but we like to think of ourselves as fine diners, and we've been talking about birthdays and where you'd go out for a nice meal. Where would you go out for a nice meal in Geelong if it was your birthday coming up?
That's a good question. We've got a nice little Squire's Loft that's just popped into town, which is always good for a steak. Where else will we go out for dinner? Well, Sancho, I've got the fiance in the car, so she's she usually picks the restaurants that we head to.
Speaking of the restaurants, Joel, Tim Kelly last night, best on ground once again. And in Toronto, there's a bit of a Kawhi and Dine thing going on to try and keep Kawhi Leonard Toronto. What's going on in Geelong? Is there anything going on to try and keep Tim Kelly at Geelong, or anything that you teammates are doing to try and keep him in Geelong, because he is such a wonderful player?
Yeah, he sure is. And again, just awesome last night. So no wine and dine, but I'm sure Geelong's open to it, that they would do it. But, I mean, it's been ongoing throughout the year that, you know, Simon Lloyd and Stephen Wells will work through with his manager and see where we get to. Well, we're obviously really hopeful. We'll put something in front of Tim that, you know, is juicy enough to make him stay in it. And obviously, it's not all just about money. He's obviously got the family situation that we have to deal with. So the club will do their best effort to make sure that he stays a Geelong player.
Jolly, we like to have some fun on this show, mate. But in all seriousness, how rejuvenated are you feeling? You got to end of your career. Now the club delivers all these gun young players. The game plan's, you know, been totally refreshed. You're sitting top of the ladder. You're out in a new position on the wing in a selfless role there. I mean, you just must be thrilled that you're sort of coming to the twilight of your career and you're two games clear of every club in the comp again. I mean, you've already got three premiership medals. I think it's a little bit selfish, to be honest, but you're in a genuinely good spot to win another one. It's amazing.
Well, we are. We've put ourselves in a position where we'll get a chance to have a crack come the end of the year, but The best thing about it is what you were talking about before, the young players that are coming through, and they're driving the club forward at the moment, thinking that they can still get so much better. The Mark O'Connors of the world, all the way through to sort of Mark Littas. We've got Grime Myers, Cam Guthrie within that group. They just think that they've still got so much good footy left in them, and it's just rubbing off on the team.
You talk about some of the new kids coming through, Joel. You've been the skipper of the club for so long now, but who do you see as the future leaders of the club?
It's a good question. I mean, we could go down as far as Jordan Clark, and you know, even the way that he takes on the game. He's a leader in his own right, the way that he does that, especially early last night, helping the side out. But
he's a ripper.
We've still got some great sort of leaders at the top of the tree too. For when my time comes to an end, with Paddy and Mitch Duncan, Mark Blitzer's been there, so it's always one where you shouldn't be in a rush to make those young guys grow up and learn to just enjoy the club for what it is and enjoy playing their footy.
Jolly, when you said good question then, Sarah just gave her a little...
Come on!
Yeah, that gives us a real buzz, mate, when you sort of say, good question, Jolly.
Thanks a lot. Well, Joel, thanks for joining us and enjoy the rest of the weekend for those extracurricular activities.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, mate.
Hollywood star, Joel Selwood.
No, get on the Instagram.
One of the all-time greats of the footy club, but just a great person. And as you said, what about Jordan Clark, young leader, but boy, can he play. There's been a lot of talk about rising star. Geelong have got a couple. Yep. Myers and Clark are absolute beauties.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard time. We just spoke to Joel Selwood, the inspirational skipper of the Cats, after their 27-point win last night against a gallant Adelaide Crows side, I must say. Put up a good fight for 2.5 quarters, just couldn't sustain it. But Tim Kelly, once again, best on ground, 33 disposals, 2 goals. Mark Blitzarves went into the ruck after halftime and was dominant. And, of course, on Thursday night, we shouldn't forget Essendon saving their season and maybe saving John Worsfold with a 6-point win over the Giants. And let's take a listen to one of the highlights of the dying stages.
Long ball, 60 out. It's a mark to Essendon. Hooker's taken it in the forward pocket. The clock ticks down to 30 seconds. He walks in now, scores a level. Hooker kicks the goal.
A little bit of biased commentary from our man Barry Denner, mad Essendon supporter, so he was loving that bit of commentary.
And I love Barry's commentary.
He's a beauty. He's one of the best.
Ripper caller.
Yep, best bloke at Triple M too, Barry Denner. So great call by him. Some NRL last night. The Dragons defeated the Cowboys by 8 points at Wynn Stadium. And Melbourne Storm, that might have slipped through the cracks, played last night at the Adelaide Oval in a grand final rematch against the Sydney Roosters and defeated them 14-12. So the Storm are now 3 games clear on top of the ladder.
Done it again.
They are just unbelievable. You talk about Alistair Clarkson, Sarah, but Craig Bellamy, what an unbelievable coach he is.
And we talk about spoilt supporters. Well, if you're a Storm supporter, you've been spoilt for what? Well, over a decade now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So getting a bit easy. Great say that. Man, we just keep winning.
We do.
Don't we?
And I'm pretty sure Cam Smith's coming up for game 400.
Yes.
Very soon. First ever 400. We're going to try and get him on the show, Rabs. That's one thing. I want to try and get Cam Smith on the show.
He's almost impossible to get.
Is he?
Right. Yeah. Oh, he's 95 years old, mate.
There's a challenge for you.
Cam Smith.
We'll chat some cricket later, some World Cup cricket, because Roy Symons, we've had him on the show for the previous couple of weeks, and he is Nostradamus.
He picked
exactly what was going to happen in this tournament. So we'll get to that a bit later. But remember, the Women's World Cup of Soccer is still going. I know a lot of people stopped tuning in once the Matildas crashed out. But England and the US are going to play in one semi-final. And then the other quarterfinals is Italy and the Netherlands and Germany and Sweden. So that's still to play out there.
Who's your tip, Joey?
I think the US, aren't they? They're the team.
They're very dominant.
They're very dominant, the US women's team. Have been for a long time, so we'll see how they go. A couple of new managers in the A-League. So Melbourne City and the Melbourne Victory. So Melbourne Victory, obviously Kevin Muscat has moved on. Marco Kurz from Germany, who also managed Adelaide United. Is it Kurz?
Yeah.
Marco Kurz, what are you laughing at then?
That's good. I like when you pronounce things.
Eric Mombarts from France is coaching Melbourne City. So it's all important as well. And then, of course, Wimbledon starts on Monday.
Yes.
And our girl, Ash Barty, the number one seed, she takes on Sheng Shaishai. I'm not sure if I got that right. She's got a tough draw, Sarah. If she gets all the way through the final, Sarah, what's she got?
Yeah, she's landed in the quarter of the draw that has 4 former world number ones, 7 major winners and 4 former Wimbledon champions. And down the pipeline is a potential showdown with Serena Williams or Angelique Kerber.
It's not ideal.
So, not ideal. But she's the number one seed. They've all got to knock her off the porch.
They're going to be quaking in their boots when they see they're in the same quarter as Ash Barty.
Absolutely. Sam Stosur will play Carla Suarez Navarro.
Who's still going around.
She's been going for a lifetime. Yes. And the Aussie men, Nick Kyrgios and Jordan Thompson, meet in the first round, the two Aussies.
Who are we cheering for there?
Jordan Thompson.
Yeah, I thought so.
And in the winner of that, he'll have to play Rafa Nadal, though. So
that would be good if it was Kyrgios, because as we know, they've got a bit of a public spat going on.
That's right.
Kyrgios said he was salty, and he also called Rafa's uncle, Tony, an idiot, which wasn't very nice of him. So, I wouldn't want to be curious if I'm Rafa in round two.
Rafa just flexes his muscles and just wipe him off the floor.
I love it. Guys, with the... Sorry, Joe.
I was just... The only other one I was going to say was Bernie Tomic has got Joe Wilfred Songer in the first round. So, suck in, Bernie. You'll be out first round.
Six nil. With all this great late night sport on at the moment, guys, what's your strategy around watching this late at night? While still be trying to be a bit sort of productive around the house. So I'm king of like folding stuff while you watch TV. It's a sort of like, you know, you do the kids folding, the washing, Joey, and that sort of means that you're sort of a bit productive as you just got about to play on to 3 hours of live sport. Have you got any sort of, any other strategies, or do you just sit on the couch, Joey?
Basically sit on the couch. Aaron watches Netflix upstairs and I watch the sports, but I'm sort of one that late night, like especially if Cricket Australia are playing, I'm probably one of those ones, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I might get up and have a look, but I won't set an alarm or necessarily get up specifically. But if I do wake up and I'm a bit of a light sleeper,
yeah,
I might just go downstairs, click the tally on, check where it's at. I'll check the scores on the phone, and if it's worth getting up for, I'll get up.
I just use KO now because I've got a TV in my bedroom. So I just pop it on through my phone and I just slither into bed and I put the sleep timer on and I go to sleep listening to Berendorf take a wicket.
So basically you're a dream woman, Sarah.
Pretty much. For all your words, not mine, Jay.
All the blokes out there who just get, you know, you're just popping on the cricket at 3 a.m. How good
lying in bed watching sport with Sarah. That's awesome.
Now, Jay, Essendon kept their season alive on Thursday night, but it's come at a bit of a cost with a big injury to a key player.
Yeah, disaster for the Bombers, really. I mean, he's almost the guy Essendon could least afford. And, of course, that's ruckman Tom Bell Chambers.
Afford to lose.
Yeah, excuse me.
Afford.
Sorry. Yeah. He's facing 6 weeks out with a calf injury. So it's not Achilles as sort of first feared, but it's a serious calf. And that means they're going to lose him for the bulk of the back half
of the season.
Yeah, 6 weeks. So, look, it means Zach Clark is basically the last ruckman sort of available on their list. Sam Draper's done his knee. Luke Lavender's retired. So Zach Clark's going to step up, and they're really going to rely on him. And this is a football club who hasn't ruled out playing finals just yet. And we know about the pressure on John Worsfold, but with Zach Clark, from what we've seen of him, Joey,
he's
played three times this year for the Bombers, and he was in emergency on the weekend, but he hasn't lit it up.
No,
has
he hasn't. Could Sean McKernan potentially play ruck?
Yeah.
Undersized, though.
Yeah, he's undersized.
How much is it going to impact him?
Yeah, I think it will. Tom Bell Chambers is a very important player, and one of Essendon's strengths has been around the stoppages, particularly stopping the opposition from scoring at stoppages. And if you watched Thursday night's game, what he does so well, Jay, is he hits the ball wide and long out of the contest to suit the small midfielders. You saw
very
that Thursday night, you know, for Merritt and Heppel and Parrish and some of these speedy guys. So that's really important. Whether you're going to get that same influence from Zach Clark, probably not. So it's going to be a telling blow for Essendon in their run home.
Coming into this round, he had the fourth most hit outs to advantage. Yeah. Sticking on the ruck theme, Jay, and this is a bit of a funny story.
Yep.
Sam Draper, can you tell us what's going on there?
The most extraordinary development in the trade market so far this year that your old mob, Joey, St Kilda, have offered Sam Draper, who's done his knee, hasn't played a senior game, off the rookie list, a four-year deal, $450,000 a season, $1.8 million to get all combined for a bloke who hasn't played a game yet. So St Kilda are saying this guy's almost like a first-round draft pick. You know, that they rate him that highly, and he's been going very well. But the Bombers, I mean, this has been so frustrating for them because they've developed him, they've helped him work on his craft. He's clearly going to help take over from Bell Chambers next season, and he might be poached. So if you're Essendon, Joey, St Kilda's going to offer this guy $450,000 a season. Do you ask for a first-round draft pick in return? Is that the situation that's going to develop?
That's an interesting one because, first of all, my thought is great move by St Kilda because they've got the money. They've got a war chest of money to spend.
Yep.
Now, if they think he's their man, and obviously they've scouted him and believe that he is, $300,000 is not going to get him out of Essendon, is it? Because Essendon might offer him, what, $250,000? So $300,000 is not going to get him out. So you need to offer him $400,000+ to get him out of the club.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind that because you've got to pay someone. Now, the actual caveat is if you're giving up, you're not going to be giving up first-round draft picks for an untried ruckman.
Well,
so that's where I would then get a bit nervous as a skilled supporter. If you can just get him as a free agent, as a rookie free agent, or just offer a third-round draft pick or maybe even a second-round draft pick.
I don't reckon Essendon will accept that. They'll
he's on
play,
their rookie list.
They'll play hardball.
He's on their rookie list.
But they're offering him $1.8 million. This is why this is so fascinating. I mean, I reckon Essendon are going to come out and say, if you want him, Saints, and you're going to pay him that much money, then give us Hunter Clark. Give us Max King. Give us a top 15 draft pick. That's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen. Because they're not going to want to accept unders, are they? And if they only cop a second round pick, a third round pick,
if you're going to have to trade for him, you're going to have to give up a bit. But Essendon have to then sign him and put him on their primary list, won't they?
But he won't sign, and then he goes to the draft and St Kilda gets him for nothing, potentially.
As a free agent.
This is a really must-watch space. It's going to be fascinating to see. So if you had your St Kilda's list manager, you're giving up what?
I'm giving up maybe a...
Zero games, off a knee.
I don't know, but you'd give up a second round or third round pick, but I still believe they can get him through the free agent as a rookie. If he does, he's on the rookie list, so you can still get a rookie.
I think if Essendon offer him a senior contract...
Yes.
Which they will.
Yep. Does he have to take that?
Oh, I think he can't go as a free agent.
Right.
There's a similar situation. The Swans player that came down to Collingwood, who's now been banned.
Yes,
Sam Murray.
Yeah. Sam Murray.
Yeah. Exactly.
They still had to have a trade for that.
Yeah, that was a late second round pick, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And just quickly, Jay, before we move on, Hawthorn, a few issues potentially with the crowds, and Jeff Kennett's not so happy.
He tweeted me last night, I think, at about 11:30 or thereabouts. So it's great to hear from Jeff. But the crowds have just come off a bit. They've been blessed, haven't they, the Hawks, with a golden run.
They've been spoiled.
Yeah, but for the first time, their home crowds, including the Tassie games, have just threatening to go under 30,000. So from 2015, I think it's averaged 38,000, now under 30,000. Look out the window now. A bit wet today for the game against West Coast. Maybe they get under 30,000 again. Get a round 22 game against Gold Coast at Marvel, which, unless that becomes like a farewell to our Premiership Heroes game, and
which could be,
maybe 30,000 for that. That's otherwise maybe a 10,000 crowd. So it's going to cost them up to $1 million in match day revenue. And
welcome to the struggle of other clubs. You know, like, talk about not only the fans have been spoiled, the club's been spoiled for a long time with what they've had. So they've got to do it hard, like about six of the other Melbourne clubs.
If you want a bit of a laugh today, go to my Twitter feed and just check out some of the byplay happening between the club's fan bases at the moment.
All right. The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Now, Jay, I seem to be picking on you all the time, and your shirt. But what's shirt going on with your hands today? Yeah. They're a bit cut up.
Yeah, I've got a few cuts on me, Sarah. It's fair to say. Yesterday, I was under strict instruction to prune the rose bushes, or the roses out the front. They were sort of getting a bit
go
long.
Go and smell the roses, Jay.
Yeah, long and overgrown. Now, I've never done this before, to be honest. So, and it's a prickly business, as you know. What I found out is that Australia takes its rose bush pruning way too seriously. You got to get under the knots or over the knots, or there's got to be a nice shape about it, and you got to do it at a particular time, and all this sort of stuff. I was that over it by the end, Joey. I thought I had a rubbish time insulating the house. Rose pruning can go and get stuff, because at the end, Joey, after you actually sort of cut off all the thorny things, and I must have thorned myself about 100 times, you then got to tie them up in a bundle with like string and put them out the front, because the Verge collection is on Sunday. I'll tell you what, if you want an unenjoyable task, Rabsy, go and tie together some leftover rose bush sticks, because
rose
that what
stems and try what, and carry them.
Whatever they are, no fun at all.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I got the job done. I didn't enjoy it. I wasn't happy about it. I made it known. And
you're a real master at the moment, aren't you? Insulating, pruning, anything else?
Shocking.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
If you have a look at our rose bushes now, fair call, Joey. If you have a look at them, they're like mutant rose bushes. They're not neatly done at all. Well, it's not totally thrilled with my performance.
You done any handiwork like that lately, Joe?
No, I don't. My nonno, you know I don't. My nonno actually is a very good rose pruner, and he did come and does the rose bushes for us. He knows exactly what to do. Puts the stakes in. So my
nonno. Grandpa. Yeah, how old is he?
He be 87, 88. But he's been. But that's because now
you're going to be my give me a spell.
He's
give
been a wonderful handyman for a long time. Nornor's been able to fix anything, but now that he's getting a bit on about the rose bushes, about as much as you can do these days, unfortunately. Oh. So, but he still tries to help out. So I'm lucky I've got a Nornor that can
do
all that stuff.
You are very lucky.
Send in your tips. 1-333-5. What's the key to a good rose bush pruning? Because I totally stuffed it up. Anyway,
now we were talking about Essendon before and how they had to win on Thursday night to keep their season alive, but they're not the only club feeling the heat at the moment. And Joey, your boys, St Kilda, They've got a big match tomorrow against Richmond at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, it's a huge game, and I feel there may be some repercussions for the losers, Jay, because Richmond, really, they don't have much room for error now, do they, with the run home to play finals. So if they lose tomorrow, that's really going to put their finals campaign in doubt. I think they'd need to win six of their last eight, which would be a pretty tough ask in this even competition, even though they will get good players back. And they do have games at the MCG. And, of course, obviously, St Kilda, we know they're under the spotlight at the moment. Essendon probably got the media off their back by winning on Thursday night.
So
depending on the effort of how St Kilda play is going to be the question.
So, I mean, Scotty Penry said something really interesting, I think. When he said Barkley was under the pump, he said he felt like his teammates were walking on eggshells. That has an impact on the players. What would the atmosphere energy be like for the St Kilda players going in tonight, knowing that another bad loss against the top eight team is going to have ramifications?
No doubt it does. The players do think about it, and it does affect them to some extent. Now, whether it's in a positive way, a negative way, doesn't affect them at all. Everyone's different. You know, some people might have that attitude of stuff everyone that's saying this about our club or about Richo. We're going to prove them wrong. There might be others that, oh, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. Maybe, you know.
Tension.
It does exist. And I think it'll go two ways tomorrow. I think it'll be like what we saw from Essendon. It'll be a response. It'll be effort. It'll be, we're not going to give up. We're going to still fight it out. Or if it gets too difficult, they might just fall away and think, well, there's been a lot of talk anyway. This season's over. So it's going to be a really fascinating watch for St Kilda tomorrow to see how they respond to all the talk, the external noise that's going on.
Left field coaching candidates. Let's just go general for a little bit. You've heard all the names like we have. Is there anyone who jumps off the page at you who, whether it's not just St Kilda, but any club who you think be worth targeting, or who aren't we talking about?
Yeah, it's a hard one because all these talk about, understandably, everyone's wanting to go after a Clarkson, a Longmire, Ross Lyon, etc. Right, yep. That's fair enough. But if you're not going to be able to lure them out of their clubs because they all seem pretty happy where they are, and all reports, those clubs aren't necessarily going to let the best coaches go, are they? Assistants, you don't know enough about. Assistant coach is like getting a draft pick.
Yep.
It might be an Adam Simpson. It might be a great coach, but it might also not. So it's a bit of a risk, and that's always an interesting one about getting rid of a coach and replacing him with an unknown. So I think someone that hasn't been spoken about before, and if it doesn't work out at St Kilda and the club decide to go in a different direction, what about someone like a Luke Beveridge?
Cool.
Premiership coach. Obviously, things haven't gone to plan the last 3 years at the Bulldogs. Highly rated. Obviously, a terrific coach. 1 year to go on a contract. Not sure how it's going at Bulldogs with Beveridge and the club. Maybe not all kosher.
Yeah.
Played at St Kilda.
Was he employed at St Kilda?
He was employed for one day. He was the head of coaching before he got the job at the Bulldogs. He's got St Kilda blood in him. His dad's legendary at the football club as being the head of recruiting for a long, long time.
It'd be worth asking the question.
If I was St Kilda, I'd be asking the question of Luke Beveridge and maybe throwing that Godfather offer out to Luke Beveridge and say, mate, this is an opportunity to come to St Kilda and get this club back on track and where it deserves to be. That's one that I would target because, yes, the big guns are out there. Very hard to get. Assistants, not sure. Luke Beveridge, bang, St Kilda. That would be my suggestion if they decide to go in a different direction. But hopefully the Saints have some wins still up their sleeve this year.
And remember, tomorrow's match between St Kilda and Richmond is Maddie's match, and money will be raised towards bone marrow failure and research there. Now, Jay, mid-season trade period, there's talk that it could potentially be coming in next year. What do you know about that?
Meeting of club chief executives yesterday have given this a tentative tick of approval, really. So we already know there's the mid-season draft period where they pick players out of the
yards. Didn't quite work, did it?
The state leagues.
Didn't quite.
It was okay. I liked it as a first step.
Yep, first step.
I'm okay with it.
Worked for Ryan Gardner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Will Snelling, a bomber, is going well. 4 goals, a heap of tackles in the VFL. Anyway, I think the next logical step is a trade period, and I think it's going to happen. And this is how it could change the fixture. So instead of having 3 weeks of bye rounds where there's 6 games, you just have 1 week.
Yep.
It's a week-long trade period. All the clubs' list managers get together, and it's just a bye round for the clubs that they don't play, and they do their wheeling and dealing because the season does lose momentum a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. 6 games, over the draws bye out rounds. A little bit. I agree. I'm all for it.
Yep.
And there's still going to be, I think, there'd be pretty strong restrictions on who you can trade, how it works. I would like to see maybe one trade per club, so you can't overdo it. It would clearly have to be a mutual decision between the club and the player. They would
consent.
Both have to agree to the trades. And you could trade future draft picks for it. The only issue is going to be the salary cap. You've got to have the room in the salary cap. If you are trying to bring a player across from another club, you're going to have the room in the salary cap. But if you've got it, I think it's a great step. And players that aren't getting games that want the opportunity, I think they deserved to be able to be traded mid-season.
I think it'd be good to spice up the season a little bit. And talking about spicing things up, Jay, pick one.
Yes. I like to give you both the curly question, you know, to try and stump you on something. Maybe we'll get the response after the break. Jordan Clark was outstanding again last night. Somehow he doesn't have a rising star.
You're a bit obsessed, aren't you?
I love him. I think he's fantastic. He was a gun cricketer. Would you prefer, and just have a think about it.
Okay.
You're sitting in the car at the moment or listening at home. Jordan Clark of Geelong or Richmond's Jaden Short? Who would you rather in your team tomorrow? Jaden Short, who's got the rocket launching boot, or Jordan Clark, who I think is the next Corey Enright. Joey, don't you raise your eyebrows.
All right. I'm not your best one.
Joey, Jordan Clark or Jaden Short?
Yeah, look, it's not a bad one, Jay, but I would have thought Jordan Clark at his age, 19 years of age, Jaden Short's 23.
Yep.
Clark was a first-round draft pick.
Yep.
I think he's going to be a superstar.
Yep.
I'd take Jordan Clark.
You're with me on the Corey Enright comparison?
Yeah, not bad.
Like that?
Yeah, good one.
Is there a better defender within 0 to 30 metres of goal than Corey Enright that you've seen?
He was my toughest opponent that I played on. We played on each other a fair bit because I sort of played as that high half forward that went into the midfield at St Kilda when we were going pretty well, and always got Corey Enright because he had the perfect balance of being able to defend you and stop you. But at the same time, if you got too far up the ground or when he would then take intercept mark and rack up 30 touches himself. So you had to find the balance between going off and trying to win the ball yourself, but also not letting Corey Enright dominate across half back. So he was just so clever, so smart, such a good user that he's an absolute superstar.
Now, the Cricket World Cup is in full swing, and tonight Australia take on New Zealand at 10:30. But I tell you what, guys, is there anything better than beating the Poms the way we did the other night? Waking up to that news, it just sets a little fire in your belly. And we have been talking to Andrew Symons along the way throughout the tournament, and he's turned into a bit of a Nostradamus.
England are obviously the favourites, and South Africa put them under typical South African World Cup pressure, which was zero. I just think South Africa have got demons.
I like it.
I don't think they might make the semis, but I'm hoping it's Australia-India, actually, to be honest with you. I don't want to see England play in the final.
Yeah.
And what I think everyone's forgetting is England have never won a World Cup.
Yeah.
So there's huge pressure on them at home. And you know what the English media and the people are like. They turn on their own in a heartbeat. So, you know, if they get rolled a couple of times, it'll be, the captain needs to go, the coach needs to go. You know, that's where it'll get to. You watch.
And a psych out. That's a great call from Roy. I liked it, talking about the Poms can't win, won't win. And the psych out really stepped up a notch this week too when Kevin Peterson was on Twitter saying the captain, Ian Morgan, was scared when he backed away to that Stark ball. So we got KP throwing grenades and the English media.
Well, that's what Simon's issue. He said they'll turn on each other. Yeah.
They're imploding.
They are. Yeah. They are turning on each other.
And it's affected him. So Johnny Bairstow said this week that people, meaning the media, and the English public, the cricket fans, were waiting for us to fail. They're not willing us on to win in many ways. They are waiting for you to get that loss so they can jump on your throat. It's a typical English thing to do in every sport. Absolute psych out, Joey.
Absolutely. And if you are one of these people that likes seeing a train wreck, England play tomorrow night against India.
Yep.
So if you want to see them continue to fail, watch the England-India game tomorrow night, because then that will mean England-New Zealand, they will have to win the Poms to play in the finals. Now, there's probably only two scenarios we want as Australians, don't we, Jay?
Yes.
Sarah, do you agree?
Yes.
What do you reckon the two scenarios are?
England miss out altogether.
Miss out altogether, don't even make the finals.
Or
heartbreakingly miss out by a whisker.
Or we steamroll them in a semi-final or a final. Yep. Wouldn't that be
good? I mean, that's probably a bit more fun, isn't it?
But it's been great. The Aussies are doing such a great job, and Finch and Warner, haven't they? I mean, I know, Jay, and we spoke to a few of the Aussies, you were wondering how they would gel with Warner coming back into the squad. You know, we were surprised. I remember you were surprised that Warner hadn't even really hung out with the team in the lead up to the World Cup, where we spoke about that. Yet Finch and Warner's opening partnership combination, they've been awesome.
Well, it's been the story of the tournament, hasn't it? Not only Mitch Stark, probably the best bowler of the competition so far, but this Finch and Warner combination has really fired. Finch, we were all wondering whether he was in Australia's best team.
What a turnaround.
He has made a mountain of runs. And then Warner, in almost a more subtle role, hasn't he? He's dropped a gear. He's probably only batting in second, third gear, showing some maturity at the top of the order, really valuing his wicket, which is a Justin Langer thing, clearly. And it's the best opening combination in world cricket at the moment. And Finch's captaincy also, you have to give a big two, that big tick to, the boy from Colac. So, look, it's been emphatic. Maybe Usman Khawaja is the one who's got the question mark.
And what about the batting lineup? Because Steve Smith came in at four. He needs to be batting at three.
Yeah, 100%. He needs to bat at three. Yeah. Yep. Maxwell floats depending on how we're travelling. You can keep Khawaja possibly or Sean Marsh in that middle order if needed. But
Stoinis late.
Yeah, late with Carey. And I like the bowling attack. So we're going really well, the Aussies, and let's hope we can get to the final and it's going to be a beauty.
Glenn Maxwell is just such an intriguing character. He's such an enigma, but he's got a strike rate at the moment, which is about 220. I think it's almost double the next best in the tournament. You feel like he's going to break a game open, but then he just hits these shots, Jay, where you're going, why? But is he playing the role that he needs to play, come in and make really quick runs fast?
Yeah, it's a selfless team role. And I reckon if you're picking a team like schoolyard style, if you were just picking them in an order, I reckon Glenn Maxwell would probably be in the top six players picked in the world because he has that ability to turn a game. So it can be hit and miss, but yeah, he could win you the World Cup. You want him in your team in a final.
We just had me thinking about the Nostradamus comments from Andrew Simons and how he was spot on. He was a genius. It just reminded me of something from earlier in the year. I've just had a look, and I think there are 7 to 8 AFL coaches that are coming into this season under the pump. Yeah. I think there will be a minimum of 3 coaching changes at the end of the by at some stage between round one and the grand final.
Are you right? Me.
Yeah, that was a bit of me.
We're talking about cricket here, and you somehow make the conversation about you.
The difference, Lee Montagna.
Exactly, that's what's happened. Ross has given you a pump up. It's gone ahead. That's when you know you're really triple
MFI'd. Sorry, guys.
You're talking about yourself.
I knew you'd like that.
Well done, Joey.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Coming up from midday after us is the Saturday Rub, and on the line from the G is Billy Brownless. Bill, hello, and what's on the show today?
Oh, magnificent show. Let me tell you, we're about to get ready. Jim's just firing up here. Damo's in. BT's here. And we've got a couple of assistant coaches, Nathan Van Berlow. Sam Mitchell will be an interesting one to have a chat to. Mm. And AFL General Manager of Football, Stephen Hocking, who played 199 games for the Cats.
Big weekend for you, Bill. You were working last night and today. How are you handling the busy schedule, mate?
Hello, Lee. Yes, just struggling at Tadcock. We're down there in Geelong, so you've got to go and have the local establishments there, the pubs, they just go and have a quiet frothy there last night, I must admit, and we had a good... Shut up, Duck, I'm on air. Duck's trying to talk about Potsy's mate to me, and we're on air. Jesus. So it was a big night down there in G-Town, of course, and then quickly back today, and this will be a good game, interesting game. Not sure about the Hawks, but looking forward to having a look at Nick Nat. And Damien Barrett today. Now, you've got to listen up. He's got a exclusive. It's explosive. He's been working on it for 26 years, this story. And I think he's going to have it up today.
Is it, there's a little whisper that it might be some sensitive info on, is it a colleague? Is it maybe Brian? Is it the mimosa mustache? Is he sort of going to maybe infuriate the big man with a bit of something?
Well, stay tuned. I'm not saying too much because everyone's right around us here. but yes, it's going to be explosive. And stand by because this is a big one. And just over there, okay? So I'll tell you, no, Cats were good. You're right. They were very good last night.
And have you got some hard-hitting questions for Steve Hocking, Bill? I'm sure a former teammate of yours. How's he going to go if you just start drilling Steve Hocking with, I'm tipping the score of you, is probably going to come up in conversation.
Oh, Damo will be all over that. But no, what happens there is I'm a team player. I start with a couple of half volleys. How good were you at Geelong Hock? How good was Ablett? How good were we together? We were very successful. And then
you step aside.
He hits 2 fours and he's very happy with himself. And then Damo comes in, and then Duck comes in with something.
Short
and
balls.
Then exactly. And that's how we play. It's a team game here.
Hey, Billy, is it right? Your brother Blair, isn't it? Does he live down in Tassie?
Tassie, yep.
Is he sort of entering the boundary riding business? Is he? Could he feature shortly as a Triple M boundary rider with your good self? Could it be that the Brownless is waxing soon?
Oh, well, he lives in Tassie, and of course we do a couple of games down there in Launceston. So I think we're in negotiations at the minute. I think he wants $200, and we're saying no, we'll give you 100. So we're in negotiations, talking with Blair. He was down last night. He had a great time in G-Town, as everyone does in that magnificent city. It was a very nice night. So. It was good. Good win in the end. Adelaide were right early too, though. They were good. And then Blixard's into the ruck.
That was a good move.
Nice. It was a good move. And Brian Myers keeps surprising me. Gee, he's been unbelievable. He just makes something out of nothing. And I'm starting a campaign today. Got a Operation Kelly. We've got to keep Tim Kelly. What a star he is. He could win a Brownlow, and you can't have a bloke winning a Brownlow and then and going interstate. So Operation Kelly today.
Now, Billy, we believe you've got 2 weeks off after today's game. What are you going to get up to?
Well, might surprise you, but I'll probably go down to my pub and palm in a few pots Monday. Tuesday, I might try a steak down there.
Mix it up, Bill. Come on.
And then Wednesday, I think we've got burger night. So I'll have a, no, a couple of little things. I'll do a bit of gardening. I like to get out in the garden, mow lawns and vacuum the house and just clean up a bit. And then I might go to Noosa, the surf club up there.
Noosa. Beautiful. Just yeah, totally Noosa. Off the beaten track there, Bill. Lovely. Well, yeah. Well, you enjoy the 2 weeks off and make sure you're on crowd watch today because the Hawks are fair weather supporters at the moment.
Yes, indeed. I will. And stand by for a Demo's exclusive.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Very good. Thanks, Bill. I love Saturday Rub, yeah. Boys.
Did you guys hear BT in the background then? I felt like he was sort of saying something in the background where, I don't know, can't wait to listen. It could be tense or be fascinating. Hey, Joey, just quickly, spoke to Ross Lyon, the Fremantle coach, last week, who was very positive about the impact you're making on the Fremantle Football Club. Let's even have a listen to Ross the Boss.
Now, Ross, over in the West, you mightn't be aware that back here there's a little man who's taking an enormous amount of credit for what's happening at the Fremantle Dockers. And, of course, Joey
Montana.
You're going to have to put a little prick in the side of that balloon, I reckon.
And not a little man anymore, Ross.
He's enjoying his success a little bit too much, Joey.
No doubt.
He's not as cooking.
Yeah, he always used to get stuck into me about Nonna's cooking when my skin folds were a bit high at the pub. So that doesn't surprise me.
Were you always
Ross.
A bit touch and go on that old skin?
Yeah, I was always one of those touch and go. But no, look, I must put on the record, I do very, very little for Freo. Ross has got it pretty much under control, let's be honest. Yep. Ross and the assistants know what's going on. I just try and give a little bit of help where I can, but they've got it sorted.
Take us into like a day in the box, though, with Ross and with the crew.
Yeah, no, it's great. No, they're really, really good. I mean, there's always a lot of conversation going on, a lot of the assistant coaches watching their area. And they filter through a lot of what they're seeing and what's happening to Ross. And Ross really sits in the back row and he just comes up with a solution. Okay, this is what's happening. This is what we're going to do. All right, this isn't working. Let's make this change. Let's get this player on the phone and pass on this instruction. So it runs pretty smoothly. I mean, Ross has been doing it for a long time. Really good coach, really good smooth operator, and it always gets heated and it's quite tense. You've got to get decisions done, but Ross's ability to come up with a solution and get it done there and then is one of the keys to his success.
Just quickly, what happens to the energy in the room, the conversation, when someone really stuffs up?
On the ground? You know what,
so what happens in the box? How does that reaction?
What, this is the coaches don't really react to mistakes or missed goals or free kicks. They're always so focused on what's next and what they need to do. It's actually something that a lot of the time they don't even worry about. You know, you can kick the ball out on the full. It doesn't bother them. They're looking at the more strategy and the tactics and what they need to come up with next. So that's one part. It's probably a little bit overrated from outside is that internally coaches don't necessarily worry about that. They're just trying to get the job done.
Joey's dumbed it down.
Yeah. It is fascinating, though, the insight you provide. Footy clubs are really remarkable places.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
I'll start it off. I'm just going to hit the half volley for four. I know the boys are going to talk about it on the Saturday Rub with Steve Hocking, but give me a spell. This score review system, but not that. I'm more give me a spell. I really like Gil McLaughlin. I think he does a lot of wonderful things for the game. I like Gil. But when he came out yesterday and said that he was comfortable with the score review system, how it was handled on Thursday night when clearly Adam Kennedy touched the footy, it was an important moment of the game.
He clearly touched it.
Everybody could see it. I was in the box. You could tell in the first highlight or replay that he touched it. For then Gil to come out the next day and say, we were comfortable with the process, comfortable with the decision. They didn't think it was beyond reasonable doubt. Give me a spell. I think we just got it. We would prefer the AFL if they just come out and said it was another mistake. We're not accepting this. We're not happy with it. We're making changes. We're continuing to work on it. But to try and justify it, a bit like earlier in the year with the umpiring decisions, we'd respect them more if they just admitted they'd wrong. They would want that from anyone in the football industry if they make a mistake to just come out and own it and move on. come on, AFL. Come on, Gil. Give me a spell. You're better than that. And the fans deserve better.
It's just about as reasoned and rational as I've heard you on this show,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, that was a reasonable one. I didn't want to go, too hard at the boss.
I like it, Joe.
Now, I've got a preemptive give me a spell. Give me a spell, Bernard Tomic. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to somehow stuff up at Wimbledon this week and you're going to blame it on someone else. Will it be the grass? Will it be the weather? Will it be the Pims? I'm not sure, but give me a spell. We know you're going to do something and make a clown of yourself.
Joe Wilfred Songer, he's got first round, so yeah, he'll get beaten anyway.
Good luck there.
It's not the first time Bernie's featured on the Give Me A Spell segment. No, I think he's a regular
on the podium
offender, fair to say. Hey, a big news this week, guys, with North Melbourne securing Brady Rawlings, who is about as popular bloke in football as I know. He's a absolutely ripping guy. But give me a spell, West Coast, if you're going to try and hold him to his list management contract until November. He's checked out. He's going to North Melbourne. You think West Coast are going to keep him, and then he's not going to be on the phone to North Melbourne every day trying to get the new coaching structure, the new coach. Give me a spell, Eagles. All this bluff and bluster about, nah, he's going to stay till November. He's the new footy manager at North Melbourne. It's a clear promotion. It's a step up. He's cleaned out his office. They're not going to hold him to his contract. No, give me a spell. Yeah. The West Coast.
They're
Eagles.
Not, but they've got a right to be frustrated because the second time it's going to happen, isn't it? Sam Mitchell left, but that's what happens when you've got good people at your club. They're going to get poached, they're going to get taken. So unfortunately, it's a part of the business that teams have won premierships losing assistant coaches. Geelong did it, didn't they? One year, Brenton Sanderson, or was it Collingwood when he was there? But players, coaches, and.
Hawthorn have lost assistant coaches every year, right, haven't they? Dimmer, all that.
Just not during
the season.
They're
just being a bit petulant, aren't they, the Eagles?
Real sort of.
And even Adam Simpson coming out in the media and saying, you know, he's my best friend and kind of putting it out there like that. But
you're gone. You're not coming Monday, Brady.
Yeah, fair enough.
The big schnoz.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
Bit of a left field Dead Set Legend this week, guys, but I think he deserves some credit because we've been talking the Cricket World Cup and it's been a wonderful tournament, but you would not know this, Jay, but the Bangladeshi all-rounder, Shakib Al Hassan, he's the first cricketer in any World Cup for any country to have taken 10 wickets and over 470 runs already in this World Cup.
Can do it both.
Snuck under the radar. Yep. He's one that no one would have heard of, but Shakib Al Hassan, the Bangladeshi all-rounder. I wonder what you could have got for him to have been the first player ever in World Cups to take 10 wickets and make over 470 runs. So well done. He's our Dead Set Legend of the Week.
He's statistically the best all-rounder in cricket, in the world at the moment. Good one, Charlie.
And Bangladesh, they're sitting fifth on the table at 3-3. And they're just below England at 4-3. So he could be key
hopefully
knocking the
Poms off.
Wouldn't
it be great the Poms miss out?
You just celebrate.
Quickly, where will you guys be watching the cricket tonight? 10:30, Oz and New Zealand.
I'm doing Collingwood Kangaroos for Triple M. And then when I get home, I'll sit on the couch and watch the first session.
Same.
I'm going to slither on the couch as well. That's all from us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Up next, it's the Saturday Rush.